The following program originated in 1996.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Roy Haynes. He's one of the major pioneers of jazz drumming. His unique versatility, excitement, and wonderful lyrical consistency have served as an inspiration for many other players. And, best of all, he always has something new to say. It's great to see you.
It's really great to see you as well, and thank you for inviting me on this nice show you have.
Well, thanks for coming. And, of course, as an extra added attraction, we have the phenomenal Mr. Christian McBride over there on the bass. And he was on your newest recording, wasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly was. He was all over the record.
Was he really? He didn't take over, did he?
Well, he took over the bass and, you know, in the place.
I mean, I don't know where to start with you because we go back so far that I don't even want to mention the date. But
please mention the date.
Well, it was sort of a landmark for me. It was in the late 40s, or about 1949 or 50, and George Wein had just started up his Storyville Club in Boston. And you were one of the people. For a while, you were sort of the house drummer, weren't you?
I'm sure I was. I think it was probably 1951 when I spent a bit of time there in Boston at Storyville.
Well, that was a fun gig, as I think back and little things come to mind, like Ray Brown walking in the club with Ella Fitzgerald. He was married to at that time.
Right.
And the little baby, the little child was about...
Oh, yeah, you got a great memory there.
Yeah, well, I remember all these good things, but that was sort of a milestone for me, a big thing, you know, playing in that club and with people like you. I mean, that's big stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, there's so much we can talk about. Being that you're from Boston, and I would love to get into that, but I know everyone's dying to hear you play, me especially. So let's do something.
All right, let's
What should we do?
Maybe So What?
So What? Now, that was a landmark tune. Miles Davis, right?
Right.
Okay. You know, I remember when that tune came out, that was such an important record at the time with Miles Davis. So What? And all those other great tunes that were on. I'm trying to think of the name of the record.
Kind of Blue.
Kind of Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really fun to play that again.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Well, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about your background and how you got started and... I know you're from Boston. Well, when did the gig with Louis Russell, that wasn't actually your first gig?
No, it was not. That started in 1945. I was working at Martha's Vineyard this summer with a trumpet player around Boston by the name of Phil Edmund. He died recently. anyhow, he had a band with a few horns and played dance arrangements. Now, we used to play at the corner of Mass Avenue and Columbus Avenue. I know you're familiar with that area in Boston.
Oh, sure.
It was a place called Little Dixie. We used to play there. And I was working, like I say, in the summer of 1945 at Martha's Vineyard, and I got a special delivery from Louis Russell. And he sent it to the Union 535 in Boston, and they knew where I was, so they sent a special delivery. He wanted me to join his band. He had never heard me, but a saxophonist by the name of Charlie Holmes. They all played with Lou Armstrong back in the 20s and 30s, at least. And I had played a gig in Connecticut with Charlie Holmes, and he told Louis Russell about me in Boston. And so I told him I wanted to join the band, but couldn't join until after that gig ended, which was Labor Day of 1945. And we started at the Savoy Ballroom in Harlem. That was my first New York gig.
Your first New York gig, and I guess maybe it was the first big band gig.
Yes, it was the first big band, too, yeah.
God, that's pretty exciting stuff. I think somehow I was thinking after the Boston thing. I know I went to the Hickory House, and you were probably everywhere. You were working with Bud Powell and Lester Young. And, well, did you? I'm trying to remember. You probably came to the Hickory House.
I certainly did while you were there. In fact, I think I may have even sat in with you there.
I think you did, now that I remember. So. And then I would come to Birdland, and you would be. It was great having these clubs so close together because when my set was over, I could pop over there and hear whoever was at Birdland.
Right. That was a very exciting period in New York,
with the music
in general, but New York, naturally, was the capital of it all.
Well, let's do another tune.
Let's, please.
Let's see. Well, this is one by Tad Dameron, Lady Bird.
Okay.
Well, let's do it. You know, I think I first learned that tune, Lady Bird, when we were playing at the Hickory House. And I came into town before that, and I went to a club over on 54th Street called the Downbeat. Did you ever play in there? Remember that little club?
I remember.
Tiny little club. And I was dying to meet Mary Lou Williams, and she was playing there. And so that's where I did meet her. But it's funny because I guess it's through her that I learned to play that tune. She had a record out on that particular song, and I took it home and learned it. So that tune kind of brings back a memory for me, Tad's.
How about that?
One of Tad's good tunes. Now, I just don't know where to go with talking to you about your career and things that you've done, and so maybe what we should do is have you do some special thing on the drums, like with the mallets.
Okay. What sort of inspired this particular feeling for this composition was when I was in Senegal at one point when I had the hip ensemble. We were there, and there was a drummer there by the name of Dudu Rose, and we had to perform opposite him. And the word was we were supposed to play together at some point. And he didn't speak English, and I couldn't speak his language. So we didn't know what was going to happen. I thought he was going to sit in with my band, but the word was that I was to sit in with his band. And he couldn't explain anything. He had around 12 drummers. They played with one stick in one hand. And we just would start playing. And I had no word of what was to happen solo-wise. And I would watch them and listen. when they're playing a background, that means somebody plays a solo, and that's what happened with their drums. So when I played the solo, I mean, we were playing all kind of rhythms, 6/8 and everything, and we just went crazy. The people went crazy at the end. So I always had the feeling, and it reminds me of that, the particular rhythm I play on this Shades of Senegal.
Now, this is just you, mallets.
This is just
I. And we are going to lay out and dig this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know what's wonderful about that? The way those cymbals are tuned, they're almost like notes.
Mm. Pat Metheny always says that cymbal sounds like it has chords in it.
Oh, well, he's right, really. And I was wondering how you developed something like that. I mean, you didn't just pick up the mallets and start doing that. It must have taken you a while to perfect that kind of solo.
What do you mean, as far as the solo?
And the dynamics and the...
Well, all that comes, I guess, with like old mellow wine, I guess, the dynamics. I heard Krupa say many years ago that you don't beat the sound in the drum. You try to draw the sound out of the drum. You play out, you don't play in. You draw the sound out of the cymbals and out of the drums.
Now, that's wonderful. I never heard that, but that makes perfect sense. Well, I was thinking about somebody else that I like a lot, Herbie Hancock. You must have recorded or done something with Herbie.
We did a couple of things together, a few things, I should say, yeah.
Well, talking about Herbie, we should play something. Another tune that became a real jazz standard. Dolphin Dance. Could we do that, you think?
Yes, please. Let's
do it. Okay.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.